Luke 11, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. He will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, for the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We're going to look this evening particularly at Luke 11, verse 1. We've read this whole passage, these 13 verses, because there seems to be a clear thread running through them, a clear teaching on prayer that's centered in these verses. When we come to this passage, it's obviously a passage about education. Somebody comes to Christ asking to be taught, and they receive teaching. And we're in a town where education and teaching are important. Many of you vocationally teach or have devoted a lot of your lives to the matter of teaching. And as somebody who was raised in the household of a teacher, and my dad's now as an assistant principal does a lot of hiring of teachers, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of reflection on what makes a good teacher and what makes a bad teacher. We've all sat in classrooms with both types of teachers. Teachers who were a joy to sit under. Teachers who had a mastery of their material, who had a love for their students, who had a love for teaching, and could make subject matters come alive and just make us eat up the material just like we're, you know, like it's a fun hobby or something to be learning. We've also had teachers who are much more difficult, maybe more difficult to follow. Maybe they have a great knowledge of a subject area, but don't enjoy teaching so much at a research school. You run into some of that. At least Purdue I did, where there are definitely teachers who are putting in their time in the classroom, not because they really are in it to teach, but because they enjoy higher learning and things like that. And so maybe they have a great knowledge, but aren't really enthusiastic to pass it on. Or there are definitely teachers. One of the struggles for, at least in the public schools, as teachers get older is, teachers get tired of students after a while. And after, you know, you get into your 60s and you've been around middle schoolers your whole life, and things start to break down for you a little bit, and you teachers start to get worn out oftentimes, and some of that early love and enthusiasm for the students goes away. So all of us have had experiences and can think back to favorite teachers, favorite classroom experiences, and then other teachers and experiences that were not quite so favorable, were not so well received by us. And And you can think about some of the qualities that made that true. Well, as Luke 11 opens up, and as we've said, these 13 verses really all tie into the subject of prayer and teaching us how to pray. But as Luke 11 opens up, there's really an invitation to each of us to go back to school. An invitation to enroll again or to continue our enrollment in Christ's school of prayer. And so that's really the call of this very first verse to us, is that we are to be enrollees, that we're to be students of Christ in His school of prayer. Now, if we're going to enroll in the, if we're going to sign up for classes in this school of prayer, the very first thing that we have to acknowledge and desire is that we have needed training in this subject matter. Right? There has to be an acknowledgement that I need to grow. I need to learn. And really, for education to be successful, there has to be some motivation, some desire on the part of the student to grow and to learn. It can be one frustration of in a public school teacher's life. You have parents who send their kids, but who really aren't teaching their kids the importance of learning, and these kids are just there to pass their days because the law requires them to sit behind a desk until they're 16 or some such time as they decide to quit trying anymore. And so even in middle school years, you can have kids, and probably younger than that, you can have kids who drop out. And so for education to be successful, we need to see the need to be educated. Part of that too is there needs to be an awareness that the teacher knows more about the subject matter than I know. So if I decided to offer a class in physics on Wednesday nights, Ian probably would not want to attend those classes. He would probably not be motivated. As a PhD physics student, I probably could not interest Han in attending those classes, but maybe I could stir up some interest among some of our junior high students or something to learn physics with Pastor Hansen, because some of you would say, I don't think Pastor Hansen has much to offer me in the realm of physics. I've gone well beyond him. Well, as this disciple comes to Jesus, see, there's an obvious understanding of I need to grow in my prayer life. There's a recognition of his need and also of the resources that Christ had as a teacher. That if I want to learn to pray, who should I turn to? Who would be well suited to teach me? Well, certainly Christ would be well suited. And so that's why this disciple, seeing the need, goes to Christ. Lord, teach us to pray. So it confronts us right away. For these 13 verses to have meaning in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, do I see a need to pray? Do I see my own limitations? Do I see the greatness and power and the goodness of God and God's ability and willingness to answer prayer? Do I even see the need for me to be praying? And do we have the conviction that God listens and hears our prayers and acts on our prayers for our good, and that good things happen when we pray? Along with that, we need to ask ourselves, do we see the need not only to pray, but do we see the need to grow in our prayer life? Or are we content with where we are? One of the things that, no matter what our age and no matter what our stage in the Christian life is for every one of us, we should be able to point to areas where we say, I need to grow in my prayer life, and I'm committed to continual growth in my prayer life. I don't personally do this, but one of the books on prayer that's influenced me, the author writes that one of his life commitments is that he will always be reading a book on prayer. He'll always be reading a book to encourage him in his prayer life. That doesn't mean every day, but, you know, just he'll be in the middle of a book and from time to time reading sections of that book. And so the beginning question that we're confronted with is, do I want to grow? And what in my prayer life needs to change? Or what do I need to learn to be more like Jesus Christ in the way that I pray? What do I need to grow in to be more like Christ as I pray? So we need training. And all of us need that training. There's no one who can say, my prayer life is complete. My prayer life is perfect. But not only do we need training, but of course we need the right teacher as well. And this disciple was correct in his perception that, Christ, you're the ideal person to teach us how to pray. And anything that we're educated in, of course, we want a competent teacher. We want a teacher who has more experience in a subject matter than we have. We want a teacher who has a passion for the subject, a teacher who has an enjoyment even of the subject matter. And of course, as this disciple comes to Jesus, he knows that Jesus has the experience necessary to teach him. He's observed Christ praying. They would have heard Christ praying. And so they find, and in fact, in this very passage, they find him praying. He's praying in a certain place, and this disciple waits. And there's a sense, and it seems like there are more there with him, but he waits until Christ is finished praying and then asks Christ. So there's a frequency to Christ's prayer life that commends it to somebody as a learner. Anybody who, you know, who do I want to teach me to pray? Well, I want somebody with experience, somebody who obviously values this. Well, there also, you want somebody who has a passion for the subject matter and the frequency of Christ's prayer life and the fervency of Christ's prayer life. Of course, commend his prayer life as a good example and him as a good teacher, the faith exercised there. And then along with that, there would have been for them a clear indication that Christ found joy and was enthusiastic about his conversations with the Father. And so there was a vitality there, a value that Christ placed on it, a relational aspect to his prayer life, a personal relationship there, not just a cold, frigid prayer life, a formality to it, but there was a personal aspect to his prayer life that would commend it to somebody, that if I want to be able to talk to the Father like Christ talks to the Father, I want to experience communion when I pray. Isn't that something that we want to grow in our prayer lives? That Christ, as he prayed, communed with the Father. And often, I think, we feel like, you know, it's like we've picked up the telephone, but we've unplugged the cord that connects it, and we're just carrying around the receiver when we pray and just talking into a dead line. And so we want to learn from Christ how to have that sense of communion and of really talking with the Father, and that personal relationship that brings joy to the prayer life. And so we're looking for the ideal teacher, the teacher who can and does model what we want to be, what our goal is in our life. And so, of course, Christ is the perfect and ideal teacher if we want to learn to pray. Furthermore, and it's not specific in this verse, but something else that makes Christ the ideal teacher is the fact that he is the access point to the Father. Right? He's the mediator between God and man. He's the one who we pray through Christ as we come to the Father. And so if our prayers are going through him, if he's the mediator, if he's the perfect intercessor, we want to learn from him. An example of this is if you're taking 4-H projects and you're taking woodworking or cookies or something like that, It actually is a good idea, if you can, to hear from somebody who's done judging at the 4-H fair, to learn from them how to bake your cookies and how to select your cookies and how to arrange the cookies for the fair, to, you know, to talk to the person who judges woodworking projects. Because they can tell you, look, these are the kinds of things that we're looking at. These are the, you know, if you don't sand enough, we're going to dock you points for that. So you got to sand that woodworking project. Well, why do you want to talk to them? Because you know that they understand what the standard is. You know that they understand how it is that you win not only the blue ribbon, but the purple ribbons of the grand champion, right? Well, in the same way, if we want to learn how to pray, it makes good sense that we would look to Christ, who is the mediator, to know what it is that makes a good prayer, what it is that the Father is looking for in an acceptable prayer. And in that regard, of course, that's what commends Christ to us a lot more than, you know, some guru who might have impressive prayers, who might be a, you know, there might be a guru who's a great man of prayer who sits around and prays 12 hours a day. And yet we say, this man has no connection with the Father, you know, with Jehovah God whatsoever. So as impressive as his prayer life is, I don't really think it helps me get closer to God. And so all of these things are things that make Jesus the ideal teacher and lead us, if we want to be students of prayer, if we see the need in our life to pray, to go to Christ and say, Jesus, teach me to pray. However, as we think about our need and our need to enroll and to learn from Christ in the school of prayer, you know, one word of warning to you as we embark on our study of these next 13 verses. If you enroll in Christ's school of prayer, one thing that you should expect is something that every good teacher requires. If you think back to the good teachers in your life, there are very nice, kind teachers. There are teachers whose classes are easy, but the teachers who are really good, who really get across their point, require work out of students, don't they? The best teachers work you the hardest. And so the word of warning is that if you enroll in Christ's school of prayer, don't expect that the coursework is just going to be simple and easy. When you sign up to learn from Christ how to pray, you're inviting Jesus to bring circumstances into your life that will force you to pray. You're inviting the Lord to bring things into your life to drive home the lessons, to send homework, if you will, to bring along circumstances to force you to say, you know, I need the Father. I need to go to the Father to ask for the 3 loaves of bread. I need the Father's work and help to help me in certain situations and things that I'm encountering. This is too big for me. And so Christ, if Christ is a good teacher, and we know that He is, He's going to send us work into our lives. And you know, if a good professor, a good teacher can figure out how to put you in situations in the classroom to force you to think through things, you know, maybe a group project or an individual project where they force you to learn some of the material and to wrestle through some things on your own, or they send you home with certain readings and certain, you know, reformulate this reading to make it kind of your own and to make it sink in. Well, if a good teacher, human teacher, can do that, how much more can the God of the universe, who controls all the inputs in our lives, do that? Right? If you've ever seen the movie The Game, you can kind of think of, you know, something like that, where someone's controlling different inputs and situations that you're in. Well, God does that. So as we sign up for Christ's school of prayer, recognize that the Lord will drive us to our knees. And so prepare to work. But the goal of all of this, the goal of enrolling in Christ's School of Prayer, is so that we will learn to pray like Christ. And if we're to pray like Christ, to bring this full circle, it's going to lead us to pass it on as well. It's really convicting to ponder the fact that underneath verse 1 is the reality that there's an attractiveness about Christ's prayer life that would lead somebody to come to Him and say, teach us to pray. You know, I need to learn to pray like You. And it's convicting to ask ourselves the question, would anybody ever come to You and say, you know, I want to become better in my prayer life. I want to learn more how to pray. Will You help me learn how to pray? But if our prayer life is going to be Christ-like, then we need to be praying with the intent that that will happen, that we'll have the opportunity to teach and help others to learn how to pray as well. And so there's a sense in which actually this verse teaches us that to pray like Christ, that we need to be active in modeling prayer to one another and to other people. Right? That there's a visibility to Christ's prayer life that invites people to see it and to be interested in it. Now we obviously have to balance that visibility and the attractiveness that this disciple has seen, and you know, that he wants to be like Christ, with the commands to pray in our closet and to not pray for show. There's a balance there. But I think sometimes we emphasize too heavily the closet side, the hidden side of prayer, and not the openness of prayer and the need to model prayer and encourage one another by our modeling. So to wrap that concept up, then there's a call here for us then to have a vitality and a familiarity with the Father, a joy in our prayer lives that others would want to emulate as well. Right? That's going to be the ultimate test of, is my prayer life like Christ? Do other people hear me pray and say, I'd like to learn to pray from You? I'd like You to help me understand more what it means to pray like Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, there's not a lot that we've covered tonight about actually how to pray. But the call of verse 1 is for us to enroll, to listen to Christ. That just like this disciple, that our desire would be, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, change my prayer life. I invite You to be the teacher, and I'll be the student, and show me how to pray to Your honor and glory. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask You that You would teach us to pray, that You would teach us to be men and women of faith. And Lord, we know that even as we ask that that's a dangerous thing for us to ask in one sense, because we know that You'll bring circumstances in our lives that will cause us to pray more and to rely more on You. But Lord, we know it's not only but we know it's a good thing for us, because we want to be more and more Christ-like. So Lord, we ask that as we look at this passage on prayer in particular over the next several weeks, that You would instruct us and cause our prayer lives to be more and more like Christ, that we'd be glorifying to You in the way that we pray. In His name we pray. Amen.